Hi, welcome to the first edition of this podcast that I haven't given a name to yet. I'm thinking maybe going with like the Mosh Pit. What do you guys think?
That's a terrible name. I hate it.
No.
Yeah, you're right. No. Totally.
No, like I'm not even joking. It's a bad name.
I'm just spitballing. We can come up with a name later.
Hey, how about the spitballs? That'd be good.
The spitballs. Yeah,
that's great. Joining me this week is my good friend Matt Leslie. You might know as Shimboy 630 if you're listening to this from Giant Bomb forums, which I may or may not post this in.
You've got now that you said that it has to get posted.
Yeah, I probably will do that. Also joining me is Mr. Ian Saunders, aka Squiddle.
Hi, how y'all doing tonight?
Squiddle, as I like to say.
Squiddle.
That's your stage name.
It's like Adele.
It's my alter ego. I'm a squid version of Adele.
And my
tentacles just wrap around people, and then they sing for me, so I transfer my energy into them, and then they sing.
That's weird. Right.
That's cool. So this is a podcast where we talk about metal sometimes. I don't know. We'll probably just ramble on for an hour about random nonsense.
That sounds okay.
So what have you guys been doing this weekend?
I've been, in terms of listening to music...
Well, just in general.
In general,
I've been playing... Where we just kind of talk about what we've been doing.
Way too many JRPGs.
Which JRPGs?
I played a bit of FF6 the other day and then got to that random point where there's... That's in every JRPG where there's a random difficulty spike that's not even a boss.
So those are always the best.
I'm just going to play something else and started playing Final Fantasy XII instead. Which that game's not as bad as I remember.
That's good to know. Let's try not to talk about video games too much because you have a whole other podcast where you do that.
Whoa, save it for the plugs. Easy now.
I'm just trying to move the show along. You guys watch Super Bowl, I'm guessing?
Nope. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that was Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm not convinced that was the Super Bowl. I'm still waiting.
That was the worst practice game. The commercials were worse than the gameplay, in my opinion. But
I think the Super Bowl was actually funnier than most of the commercials.
You're just a bitter Raiders fan. It's okay. I understand.
I feel totally okay with how that game turned out.
My uncle is a Seahawks fan, so whatever.
Safety in the beginning was an omen.
It was. I agree.
It set the mood for the rest of the night.
Oh, football.
Football.
There
was music at the football.
There wasn't any metal, sadly. The closest thing to metal was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I think I like that, what is it they said, that Bruno Mars had more field time than Eli did the entire time he was on the field.
You mean Peyton?
Peyton, Eli.
It would make sense that Eli was there.
Eli was actually there.
Yeah.
he's sitting there probably be like, it should just put me in right now.
Yeah. Slap my hand. Call me in.
I actually thought Bruno Mars did a decent job. I'm not the biggest fan of his music.
He played two songs actually kind of liked by him, and then one song that is kind of whatever.
Whatever. His job is to entertain, and he entertained.
Weird part, I didn't like his hair. It bothered me.
His hair is always that way.
It bothered me. It's like,
that is his hair.
It's like he's trying to channel Elvis and Michael Jackson at the same time.
It's like he has a perm.
There are worse people he could be channeling.
That's true.
All right.
He should just went full mullet.
Let's get away from Bruno Mars and talk about metal, because this is a metal podcast.
That's right. Red Hot Chili Peppers were there too, guys, right? Right?
Did you see that their instruments were not plugged in?
I did not
notice that. Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I saw a couple articles floating around today that had like super zoom-ins of like the plug for Flea's bass, and there's not even like a plug going to a wireless pack. It's just straight not plugged in.
That's pretty funny. I noticed that Anthony Kiedis was kind of quiet, so maybe his mic wasn't even plugged in.
That's easy enough to do wireless. They probably could. Then again, the instruments are easy enough to do wireless. I guess they just didn't.
Yeah.
That also explains why they were flailing, like, way too much.
They had to really sell it.
Oh, God. Because I was thinking, I'm like, okay, musicians move around on stage and get into it, but this is over the top, and I don't know how they're actually playing. And I guess it turns out they weren't.
So well, I mean, I was looking for what is the lip-syncing version this year that they're going to do, and I guess that would be it.
Yeah. Million status.
They still sounded better than the Black Eyed Peas on 1 year.
Oh, God. It was funny. I saw a whole bunch of people complaining about this year's halftime show because people do every year. And even the people that were complaining were just like, well, at least it's not the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. That was the lowest.
I saw a lot of people still talking about Madonna being the best. I'm like, I don't know.
I actually, when I was younger, Michael Jackson did a halftime show, and I was a big fan of Michael Jackson when I was a kid. and one of my family members said, "God, Michael again?" And I said, "Shut up! He's the best!" And I got yelled at by my parents for yelling at my relative.
You were not wrong.
So I don't even know what my favorite halftime show was.
The Who were okay.
They were decent. Paul McCartney was okay. I think Rolling Stones were pretty bad.
The Rolling Stones were terrible.
They just looked bored the whole time.
Hey, guess what? In 2014, the Rolling Stones are terrible.
True. Five. I think it was pretty cool, though, with the Bruce Springsteen one that he did, when he slid off, he slid off the side of the stage almost.
That was right. I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, but...
I'm saying, if he didn't play that game, whichever one that was, he should have been playing this one. They should have got him or Bon Jovi.
Oh, Bon Jovi.
Yeah, get Bon Jovi. It actually makes sense. Or get the Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl is actually there. He posted a picture of himself
outside the
arena. I
say every year, every single year, that the Foo Fighters are the perfect band to play halftime at the Super Bowl.
They would be good. But did you hear stories Van Halen wanted to play, but then the NFL basically said no?
Good. I want to hear Van Halen nowadays.
I'd rather hear Van Halen than Bruno Mars.
I don't know if I'd rather hear old Van Halen than Bruno Mars. I don't know whether I'd rather hear 2014 Van Halen over Bruno Mars.
So they just have a boombox up there with microphones hooked up to it and hit
just
play
a
on,
ghetto
the
blaster.
On the tape recorder and just like, there you go.
Just play Panama on repeat three times and then call it a halftime show.
We all know that the best choice for the halftime show would be Daft Punk.
Yes, this field splits in half, a pyramid rises, and you just hear Around the World slowly turning up in volume.
That would be
all of
awesome.
The lasers just shooting all directions.
Well, since this is a metal podcast, I suggested to you yesterday that it would be funny if they had the cast, if you will, of Arion's The Human Equation, and they just played that album in its entirety.
That would be pretty amazing. That would also, it would require a lot of work.
It would be really lengthy.
Yes.
That would be my dream.
I think more than half the people would be like, "Who the hell is this?"
No, more than like 90% of them.
All right, well, now that we're on the subject of metal albums, let's talk about metal albums we'd be listening to, if any.
Do these have to be new albums? What's the deal here?
Well, if you're listening to anything new, that would probably be good place to start, but anything in general.
Because I've been down this terrible prog rabbit hole for the past few months.
I'm proud of you.
Please do share.
I'm glad you're there.
Well, I told you, Ian, where I was just like, I was laying in bed listening to Arion's Into the Electric Castle, and I was really tired, and by the time I got to the castle hall, I'm pretty sure I was hallucinating.
Yeah.
That was quite the experience.
That'll do it to you.
Yeah,
he actually said on his AMA that he did that album and The Human Equation, I think was the wording he used, currently they're his two favorite albums that he's done, which I can agree with.
That makes sense.
They're very personal.
This
albums.
Guy over here liking Why, I don't know what the hell's up with him.
Hey, that's a pretty good album. That's I was listening
arguably,
to it while I was working out in the basement today. And
arguably
my dad,
the weakest.
My dad was like, "Hey, this album was actually pretty good."
Arguably the weakest Arion album. Except for, like, actual fantasy. That doesn't really count, though.
Have any of you listened to the Universal Migrator albums?
I have.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I listened to the song that had Bruce Dickinson on it.
My favorite is the second part, part two. Part one.
Flight of the Migrator?
Yeah. I absolutely love the way the opening of that is just
chaos.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
That album's pretty good.
Makes me
happy. I actually got our mutual friend Brian into Arion. He was listening to them all at work, and he came back like yesterday after starting late last week, I think. He was just like, "Okay, here are all the details of the storyline," and he started laying it out for me to show that he had listened to everything.
Here's my show notes from listening.
Yes.
On this post-it note.
So, outside of that, I've been listening to Plagues of Babylon from Meister. That album's pretty solid. It's okay.
I listened to that too for the past week or so.
I don't know.
I like the first half of it more than the second half. I think the second half is where it kind of goes more into filler.
Except for that Highwayman cover is fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's the closer. You gotta end on a strong note.
Like, that's good. I think Cthulhu is a fun, silly track.
That is a really good song. For as silly as the subject matter is.
Yes, but I don't think I like it as much as I like Dystopia.
No, I'm with you. I think Dystopia's better. I mean, this is still a pretty good album. I'm a big Ice Earth fan, so I'll listen to basically anything they put out. It's not really a complaint, but something I've noticed is that a lot of the songs, not only do they have parts that sound like other songs, but they also sound like other Ice Earth songs. Well, it's kind of funny.
It makes sense to an extent.
It does. I feel like more than other albums, like, If I Could See You sound a lot like Melancholy. What's the other song? Like the Calling. The main riff kind of sounds like Disposable Heroes. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, I need to go listen to that song, yeah.
I'm looking at their discography, and the last actual album I listened to by them was The Glorious Burden. Was probably
that is a really good album.
The last, and it's not that I didn't like it. I loved it, absolutely loved it. But I never kept going down. I wasn't at that point where I was like, okay, I like this genre, and I'm going to listen to everything that ever comes out from these people. It was only until I got listening to Arion that I really turned into this crazed madman of listening to every single album that I could find from groups.
Well, that's a topic I want to get into a little later. But other than that.
You should listen to, Ian, if you want to really get into a lot of, like, especially older stuff, is you should just pick up a copy of Days of Purgatory, which is pretty much just, like, remixes and re-releases of a lot of stuff off of their first couple albums, or first few.
Yeah, that's a really good album. They had Matt Barlow record a lot of the songs, and he does a lot better job than the first two singers they had, because they were not too great.
Ooh, I like the album cover.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
I'll listen to it. I like the album cover's good. I'm listening to it.
you need to study your material before we go to the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I'm going to get there and be like, yeah, you guys, what song is this? Oh, okay, I'm just going to drink my beer. I'm just going to sit
back. It's not any different than a lot of the Guild Wars 2 shows.
Oh, good point.
Just sort of showing up and just like, this is a thing.
Yep. Marionettes.
All right.
Anyway.
If you haven't been listening to anything else... Then
have you just been listening to just Arion nonstop?
Yeah. Well, I also listened to the new Primal Fear album, Delivering the Black.
I listened to a song off of that.
Yeah, I showed you that.
Power metal.
Yeah, so that is basically just more Primal Fear, which I am 100% okay with, because they put out some really fun power metal albums that pump you up pretty good.
Because I had never actually listened to any Primal Fear, like, ever.
I mean, you can make the argument once you hear one Primal Fear song, you kind of heard them all. But they're all still... They have really good harmonies. They have, like, an Iron Maiden quality about them. Ralph Schieffer is a really good singer. He was on an Arion album also.
Hey, which one?
One of the Universal Migrators.
Oh, okay.
I forget which one. All right, so I see an album that Ian put in. I want to know more about this. Because I've heard of this band, but I never actually listened to them. Please explain what... Tear? Is that how you pronounce it?
I looked it up earlier, trying to get the correct spelling. And I found different ways in the Old Norse language how to say it. But I guess Wikipedia says it is Tyr, T-Y-R.
Yeah, Tyr makes Tyr. Sense.
Yeah.
That's and almost then, my name.
And plural is Tyvar, gods. And it means god in Old Norse.
Okay.
But I got into them because I recently have had a subscription to Google Music, their play thing, and
do you have like the premium version with unlimited?
Yeah. So I kind of like go, okay, I'm listening to Elvetis. I can't remember the correct spelling of their name or how you pronounce that. Elvetis, Switzerland and
Ovaltine. That's it, right?
Yeah, Ovaltine. Exactly. And then I go from there, and then I'll be like, okay, well they have. You know, Fin Troll, Equilibrium, and then Tyr. And I'm like, okay, Tyr, let's see what that is. And then they have a new album. I listen to that, go back a couple. So I've been down that rabbit hole for a while now, just listening to new artists and things I've never heard of before. And one of the things I like doing is just putting on the radio portion of it, and it just mixes songs while I sit at work and listen. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool artist. I like that. And then I'll download it to my album and listen to it later, their whole thing.
I never really mess with, like, radio features and streaming services. I like to just play the whole album.
Well, true, but yeah, when I'm just trying to find some new stuff, I would love to just sit there and listen to a whole album, but it's easier.
Yeah, I hear you.
I like to pick exactly what I'm listening to down to, like, the specific tracks, so I never mess with, like, any radio stuff.
Yeah, so what exactly is their sound? Are they just, like, folk metal?
They're folk metal, but they're not to the point where it's, like, a Monomaroth where you can't, and I'll say this very...
I don't know if Modern Mars is really folk metal.
Well, okay.
Like, if you're going, like, folk metal with, like, more death metal elements, I'd go with, like, Inciferum.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I was thinking more of, like, Fin Troll or...
Yeah.
Even like Corpiclani.
I've heard some folk metal where you can't understand what they're saying unless you look at like lyrics. The one thing I like about them is that you can understand what they're saying and kind of get into it.
It's like clean vocals, mostly.
It has really good clean vocals. The instruments aren't as overpowered. The vocals are really what's more the focus, where, at least from what I'm hearing, maybe it's the way I have my sound balanced, but the vocals come through a lot more in this in their albums, it seems, or at least in their latest one, I'll say, than some of the other folk metal albums that I've been listening to. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like their sound. They're new to me. They're something I've kind of just been going back in. I listed their newest one, Valkyrjar, or however you say that in their language.
Close enough.
Valkyria?
Valkyria? Okay.
That's how I would pronounce it.
I didn't know if it was some other funky way of saying it, but... But yeah, I mean, I like it so far. I'm going to be checking out the rest of their albums probably in the next week and just go from there. So I can report back later with better findings.
All right, that sounds cool. And then here in the show notes, we have some sort of live DVDs that some of us have been watching.
Yeah,
I sent Ian a clip of one, and he had to leave the Skype call because he was just mind blown.
Yeah. So this weekend Matt is alluding to is the Nightwish live at Wacken, or however you
Wacken
Wacken Wacken
it's Wacken.
Wacken
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 yes yes that's it
because they're in Germany, you know, why not, right?
I believe the full title is Nightwish was it Storytime and Showtime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the concert portion, not the documentary titled Learn the Setlist in 48 Hours.
Is that what it's titled?
Yeah, that actually is what it's called.
I want to see that. That sounds super interesting.
But my girlfriend was over this weekend, and we were listening to music, and she listened to The Islander, the music video, and saw it. And she goes,
okay.
Oh my God, are these actually them? Because she'd been listening to them in the car when we drive. And she goes, is that really them? I said, yeah, but some of the music has the original singer. And so they've had a couple new singers since then, lead female vocals. And she goes, well, I want to see more. And so I pull up YouTube and I just type in Nightwish. And the first thing that comes up is the entire concert with their new vocalist, Flor Jensen. And so I said, well, let's just watch this. It's the full thing. She goes, awesome. Absolutely fell in love with the group as soon as she walked out on stage.
She was just mesmerized.
Yeah, she was just like glued to the TV the entire time.
To be fair, they opened with Dark Chest of Wonders, and that is a super strong opener.
Yeah.
That is a great song off of probably one of their best albums.
Whoa, yeah. Let's not get crazy here. Actually, it is one of their better albums.
I said one of. If you want to go into best overall Nightwish album, that's a whole other podcast.
I said that's a whole other show.
And she got...
So is your girlfriend into metal, or is she discovering it?
She's kind of just discovering it. She grew up as like a country biker type, you know, like rock and like classic rock and stuff.
Like riding down the highway on your Harley?
Yeah. And so I'm a little bit more of the at home, I'm going to, you know, bite your throat off and spit down your neck metal type.
Oh, yeah, that subgenre.
Duke Nukem metal, exactly.
That's right. So anyway, so I've just been playing it here and there, little bits. And yeah, she just like, it clicked with her, like out of nowhere.
It's always a good feeling when you introduce someone you care about to a band or a song. You're like, my God, I have to actually go home and listen to this.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, she asked, like, oh, I have to have this CD. Like, they're from whatever the last CD was. I can't think. Imaginarium. So I walked over to my CD chest. And yes, I still buy CDs every now and then.
Is it actually a chest?
It is a chest.
Is it a dark chest?
Is it like, God damn it, podcast is over.
I walked over to my wall chest, let's put it that way, and I grabbed the disc out and I handed it to her, and she goes, oh my God, can I borrow this? I have to listen to this. And so I said, sure, yeah, take it with you, it's fine. And so she was really stoked about that, and she goes, we have to go see them when they come in the concert. I'm like, that may be a while before they're back in the States.
Or we have to fly to Finland and see them in an arena headlining.
However, I don't know if, I guess Floor is still with the... her other band, Revamp, right?
Yeah.
So
that's more of a side thing, though, as far as I can tell.
I mean, I think it's more her main project, but then she's kind of the singer for Nightwish, which is I forget his name. The keyboardist. That's his project, really.
Tomas, I want to say his first name. But still, like, if you are the lead singer of Nightwish, that is your priority.
Yeah. But I told her that we're going to be seeing Revamp when I come to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, I am so jealous right now. I'm like, it's not going to be exactly the same what you're hearing here, but yeah, it's going to be cool.
Actually, listen, I've been listening to Revamp's. I was like, I don't really know any of their music because I figured I might as well brush up seeing as we're seeing them. And I've been listening to Wildcard, which I guess came out last year. That album's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's got a bit of a prog edge to it.
I listened to the song with Russell Allen on it, and that song was all right.
There's a song, I want to say it's track 6. I forgot, the title eludes me because it's really long on Wildcard, but it has Devin Townsend on it, and he sounds awesome. It's a pretty good contrast.
Does he shout most of
the time? He's not just yelling, no.
That's slightly disappointing.
He actually is singing, but it's a nice contrast between him and the soprano vocals of Missy Anson.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess that's the Nightwish concert, and then please explain the other concert you were sharing earlier.
Okay, so I don't really listen to Epica, like at all.
You really shouldn't, because I don't really like that band.
I like it. I do like this.
Nah, they're
they are a poor man's Nightwish.
Wow.
They are completely different musically.
I guess, but tonally.
I mean,
very similar.
They do some symphonic arrangements and have a female lead singer. That's about the only similarities.
So, like...
Oh, God.
Oh, no. We will discuss that band.
We're ending this podcast if this comes to an...
I will kick you off the Skype call if you name them again.
So I'm like, what better way to start listening to some Epica than to watch Retrospect, I think is what it's called. It's their 10th anniversary concert they did. Except,
is it recent?
Yeah, it's from last year.
Okay.
It has, you know, obviously the band, they're a 6-piece, I want to say, plus a full orchestra, plus a full chorus, all on stage. And it's 3 hours long across 2 Blu-rays.
It couldn't even fit onto 1 Blu-ray. That is how much Epica is on this.
Because I don't like paying money for things, I could only find part 1 on the internet. But it is extremely silly. I showed you guys before the show started, and there is an insane amount of pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't even the opening song. That was like the 4th song of the set, what I showed you guys.
Scared the hell out of me if I was down up in the rafters.
Because basically... If people haven't seen it, they're in what looks like a giant warehouse somewhere in France.
It's like, mm-hmm. It's like kind of a larger club, basically.
Yeah. But it's like, it's just pretty large. And they have speakers and all kinds of stuff along the upper sides, sort of in front of whatever seating or GA is up in, like, the rafters. And... the name of the song, again, escapes me, but there's, like, a series of, like, blast beats as part of the intro. And to correspond with each of them, they send a string of fireworks exploding down each set of audio equipment over the crowd, which seems extremely dangerous, but looked awesome.
Yeah, I don't really know what the safety regulations were for that show.
It's in France. There are none.
Yeah, they don't care.
As long as you eat escargot, they don't care.
And fire the missiles!
Yes.
That was Russia, but okay.
So that was... You should all watch that. Yeah, I believe it's called Retrospect. Like I said, they have the full orchestra. The aforementioned Miss Flor Jansen makes a guest appearance for one song. So it's worth watching if you enjoy her. Epica's weird. And after about... an hour of the hour and a half that I watched of part one, I was like, I don't know if I want to listen to more of this at this current time.
Yeah, this is a little draining. Too much to digest in one sitting.
Yeah, it was about an hour, which is, you know, average, like, album length is about how much I could take of that at once. Which I suppose makes sense.
Imagine if you're at that show.
Oh, God. That's a lot. I don't know if I could handle that. I don't know if my mind could handle what was going on for an hour. Or 3 hours.
Well, maybe I should give them another chance. Like, did you at least enjoy the music, or was it mostly just for the spectacle?
Most of it's alright.
Yeah, it's just the songs I heard by them, they didn't really do much for me, but maybe they had some other stuff I'll like.
Songs in the video that I linked, I enjoy. I should probably actually look at that to see what the hell, which song it is. Oh, the Epica fans are going to kill me.
Yes, both of them.
Yes. Hey, Unleashed. Oh. That's a pretty solid track. They have some weird growly vocals that I don't think are very
I'll link
good,
the video in the show notes if I ever get around to doing that.
Hey, do you know that Jar, is it Tarja?
Yeah.
Tarja, I think.
Oh, the character from Fire Emblem?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, her.
Came out with a new single.
Yeah, she does solo stuff.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't realize she came out with a new single. Because I know she did something with, who is it? Within Temptation for a small little...
Yeah, I saw some of that.
I saw a video. She did some concert where Flor Jansen actually, like, sang. It was, like, Over the Hills.
That's a good song. That's like a cover of a cover.
Yeah, it is. Okay, and the last thing here... I don't even really want to address it.
Yes!
I'll
link the song in the show notes, because
Ian, you need to yell this out. You need to yell this out.
Yeah, ready?
Yep.
On three?
No, just you. Just watch solo. The Unincarnation of the Beast! That song's really
silly!
What's the sorcerer's name in that song?
It was like Zelda.
God, he's from the Kingdom of Fife, and I can't remember.
But there's, like, zombie unicorns. This is Gory Hammer, by the way, in case people are wondering.
No, I think everyone listening to this already knew that.
I don't know whether I'm happy or disappointed that they're doing this, like, kind of jokingly.
Yeah, they're almost like a parody band.
Yeah.
They're the Steel Panther of power metal bands.
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to figure it out.
It's like Zargonaths or something?
Glory Hole. God damn it, Google search.
Glory Hole? That's a different thing.
Man. Search history. Coming back to bite you.
Go to incognito mode.
I'm just going to look up the lyrics. Yeah, hold on. I have it here. Zargothrax. Man.
Is that what? Okay.
Led by the sorcerer Zargothrax, slaying all people he sees. That song's really silly. That album is really silly.
The band, silly.
I liked it. When I first heard it, I was like, okay, all right, I can get into this.
Just because it's silly doesn't mean it's bad.
Music is surprisingly
It reminded
decent.
Me of...
the subject matter.
Who's that band I used to listen to, like, a lot? Damn, I've drawn a blank, and I should have thought about it first, but...
I mean, a lot of power metal is exceptionally silly.
Yeah, but, like, they are, like, going out of their way to be exceptionally silly.
I mean, I don't know, like, Dreamweaver has Chasing the Dragon... Actually, I think Epica has a song called Chasing the Dragon. But still.
I'm sure there's at least one song with dragon in it for every power metal.
That's why I listened to it, because I saw Glory Hammer and I was like, oh, that reminds me of Hammerfall, their album cover.
Oh, Hammerfall's
so
great.
So I'm going to listen to it. And I was like, this is actually pretty damn good. I like this.
Hammerfall is awesome.
Yeah.
Hammerfall is one of the few groups, like European power metal groups or European metal really in general, that you can still find, like, CDs for in, like, average-ass stores. Like, I have seen Hammerfall albums in Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of surprising.
I need to check my local Best Buy, see what albums they
there's
have.
There's a nice record store in Hoboken that has all kinds of nonsense.
There's
I haven't been
there?
In there in a while, but probably.
We should get a vinyl of... Doomstar
yes.
Requiem.
Speaking of which...
I'll say, you've been big vinyl collecting over there.
Speaking of which, I finally got my email that says your order's been processed for Doomstar Requiem, the vinyl edition. So
the art on those vinyls is crazy.
Yeah, so it will be here at some point soon. And
do you have any way of ripping the files on the vinyl?
I'm actually going to start doing that next.
Those high-quality vinyl rips. Only way to listen to music.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I can't listen to Nightwish without listening to the 24-bit vinyl rip.
Yeah, because I sent you that torrent that had all of them. I'm like, I already own most of these albums. I can justify torrenting this.
Sure. Yeah, and I absolutely love... I mean, oh, it's so great. I put my DAC in line with it, and then just... Oh, it's so good.
Jeez. Do you still have the big-ass, like, mobile DAC?
Yeah, I had the original one that you saw when we were at PAX last mm-hmm. year, and I bought a new one for my Android, which I thought was a DAC that I had. It wasn't. It was an amplifier. So this is actually an amplifier plus DAC.
Okay.
And so it does what it's supposed to do, and convert the digital to analog correctly, mm-hmm. and man, it sounds good when I can get it to work. And I say that because Android doesn't like to play 192K files.
No, Google Music, like if you upload it to Google Music, it converts to MP3, and there are not a lot of like secondary media player options for oddly specific things.
Right, why? And I
they support some stuff. They don't support .waves, which is
yeah. And
the big
I found a player that actually would support it, but the way you manipulate the library of what you want to listen to is extremely subpar. Like I have to pick the individual songs to make the playlist. I can't just pick a folder and say play all these songs. And then if I close the app and reopen the app, it will delete the playlist, and I have to recreate it every time.
Is there like a mobile version of like FUBAR?
Not that I found.
Because that's like extremely folder based, but it's pretty good about how it handles albums and stuff.
The only
or like playlist based, excuse me,
is called USB audio recorder.
Okay,
and it allows you to enable the USB to audio feature on the Android devices. And like I said, the problem is it's just a horrible interface for trying to listen and add music to listen to. So.
Yeah, I actually had to get. Speaking of DACs, I had to get a DAC for my PlayStations here.
Ooh,
which is good because. I now have it set up so I can pretty much take anything and do audio into my PC with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, like, have audio from, say, like my 3DS or PS4 and have music playing at the same time through the same output. So I can just sort of play something and throw on, like, a podcast and it'll all be going through my headphones at the same time.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this.
The future is here.
The future is now.
The future is the unicorn invasion of Dundee.
I hope not.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be a bad way to go.
I would rather that than a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it's boring.
What do I get?
It's a zombie unicorn. It's a zombie apocalypse.
Oh. I guess so.
Yeah, but zombie unicorns, they're fast.
Depends which type of zombie. Run.
There's only one type of zombie, let's be real.
The Shambler?
Yes, the George Romero zombie is the only zombie, as far as I'm concerned.
None of these Left 4 Dead fast as hell zombies?
No, get that out of here.
What about, like, all of the Left 4 Dead special zombies?
They're a special breed.
Hunters are badass.
They are. All right, let's move on. This is the part of the show where we talk about news, I guess.
I guess. You said you don't sound very confident.
Well, I told you, we're testing the waters, figuring out how I want this to go.
How we want the show to be structured?
I need to get, like, a soundboard. I have to have a soundboard for this. So
insert,
I can
like, clips. Here's the news things. For this week.
Yeah.
Dateline, New Jersey.
Yep, that's it.
There's not a whole lot of news that I really want to talk about. Probably the biggest thing that happened the last week was Motley Crue announced they're going on a farewell tour, even though they basically teased this the past couple months. And
I thought Motley Crue was already like irrelevant and gone.
That's up to your opinion, but...
Is that... Oh, okay. I don't remember them being relevant recently in anything, I guess. But
well, now they're not going to be as relevant now that they're going on a farewell tour after that. I mean, do you guys care at all? I kind of don't.
I don't know. Like I said, it's...
I give them kudos for actually saying, like, you know what? Why don't we go out on top, well, arguably on top, and instead of just, like, getting to the point where... You're playing live and you can barely even hit the notes. And then people just saying, like, you
yeah,
should
I mean,
just
I'm like,
call
I'm,
quits already.
I'm okay with them actually saying, okay, we're done, as long as Nikki Sixx still does his solo stuff. Which
he said that after Motley Crue that 6 a.m. was going to be his main project.
Okay, good. Yeah, I do like his solo stuff.
Yeah, they're touring
okay
the summer.
That.
Alice Cooper is supporting them, which... It's pretty cool. Alice Cooper
was great when we saw them, yeah. Or we saw him or them. I don't really know how you want to classify
him. He's really him,
open
but
for Maiden.
Whatever. Yeah, he was great. The funny thing about the announcement was that apparently there was some thing where they said that if they did tour past their farewell tour dates, that they would get sued, but no one knows who they get sued by.
What?
It was like really
it's
weird.
Me.
Yeah, we're all going to file a class action lawsuit to sue Motley Crue for touring.
Well, like, the trademark for Motley Crue is up. Because right now I have it, but there's no umlaut.
Oh, we should totally buy that.
Which is just unacceptable.
No, you should buy Motley Crue, but Crue with a W at the end.
No, no, come on now. Let's not get crazy. Hold on. But it's actually like C-R-U-W
yes.
instead of E?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Does this U still have an umlaut over it?
Sure.
Or is that the Gru or is it the O in Motley? I can never remember.
Oh,
I don't.
Is it both of them? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because right now I have a trademark, but no umlauts, so I need to wait for that trademark to expire after this tour.
Yep, and then add an underscore.
Well, because like, the thing is, if they tour past those dates, I'll own the trademark, so I can sue them.
All right. I mean, they can probably...
That's how the legal system works. I'm king.com. Deep cuts.
Let's not get into that. All right, next piece of news. Lars Ulrich did an AMA on the Reddit.
And ask me anything, if you will.
Yes, and he had some interesting things to share. Some of his things are already new. He said that Metallica is working on a new album for next year.
That's not surprising.
No, he's basically been saying that for a while. The most interesting thing I saw was that since recently Metallica bought the rights to all of their albums, that someone asked him, hey, do you plan on remastering all your old albums? And Lars basically said, yes, we're looking into that. So that's actually pretty exciting. I would listen to a remaster of Death Magnetic.
Oh, man. The mixing on that album was real bad. I would listen to a remastered, like...
Or Injustice for All, with actually a bass in it.
I don't know. I like... That album has a weird and unique sound because of the extreme lack of bass.
I mean, I do like some of the sound of it, but...
I have to get over my hatred
a little bit, then I'd be okay with that.
Ian, you have a hatred for Metallica?
I have a hatred for Metallica because of the way they treated digital distribution back in the
day. Napster bad.
And I will always... Yeah, exactly. I will always hate them for that. Their music is fine, but I don't really care to ever listen to it again because of that, and maybe that's just me being...
You actually mentioned that in the MMA. Not the MMA. You did the mixed martial arts turn while he's answering these questions.
Now, okay, I would if they did that, I would respect them again, and I would listen
to
their
music. If Lars Ulrich was on UFC, so. You watch that.
But
us...
I saw one of the posts where the guy asked, you know, what do you feel about Spotify and all these other things, and he never answered it, so I never went back to check to see if he actually answered the guy on that specific, you know, topic, but since it was, like, the most highly ranked upvote on Reddit, and he hadn't responded to it, kind of was like...
Someone asked him, like, what do you think about the whole Napster thing, looking back on it, and, like, do you care that some people, like, don't listen to music anymore? And he said something along the lines of, like, it doesn't really bother me that much. And we did it not because we were greedy, we wanted more money. It was more the fact that we wanted to kind of protect the younger artists and kind of just say that you shouldn't steal music. Whether or not that's actually what he's thinking at the time, we don't know. But
I think the most important question here...
Yeah.
Which got an answer was, why the hell didn't you guys play Trapped Under Ice during the Antarctica
show? Someone did ask that, and he said that they forgot.
That's what I mean.
They were going to play it, but then they just forgot somehow.
That's upsetting, really.
How do you forget that, though?
Because, Ian, did you hear about that? How they played in, like, a little bubble in Antarctica?
I did not hear about that.
It's really funny. It's like a really, really tiny bubble that maybe only fit outside of them and their gear, maybe, what, 25, 30 people?
Yeah, well, their gear was in a separate bubble because they couldn't have it, like, on the stage.
Well, I mean, like, the drum set and stuff, like, the obvious things.
But apparently the people in the bubble had to put headphones on because all the gear was in, like, a different area.
So loud.
So we actually listened to a recording of it that wasn't going through the mixer. It was just all acoustic.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I can imagine the drums would still be loud, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, they wouldn't be as amplified, but...
I guess I should watch their live DVD or thing.
You should just watch, like...
The Through the Never movie that we watched in IMAX.
In IMAX? That was interesting. No, but you should just watch that, and then you should just watch Seattle 89.
Oh, that was so good.
That's a good show.
That was one of the best live concerts. Like, top five for me.
Was it Live Shit Binge and Purge, I think is the actual name.
It was just them at their height. Well, not popularity, but just more musically, and just like...
Yeah, because that was the And Justice for All tour.
Yeah, that was before the Black Album, where it sold out.
This was when James Hetfield was a scary dude. Would snap you in half. He was jacked.
Alright, well, and speaking of AMAs, another... metal musician did one today, I think.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Today is the 3rd of February. It was on the 2nd.
It was from, speaking of Arian, we mentioned earlier, Arjun Lucassen did an AMA, kind of out of the blue.
No, it was scheduled.
Well, I didn't know about it before that until you sent me the
link. Out of the blue for you.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
I just sent you the link today.
I didn't know about it until you mentioned it, so...
Yeah, there's some pretty good nuggets in there. Someone asked him, would you ever consider writing a book about, like, some of the topics you've written songs about, and he said that I'd never read a book in my life, so I wouldn't know how to write one.
I find that surprising, how you get through life without reading a book.
I mean, I'm sure he read some in school, but he might not have ever gone out of his way to read a book.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but...
There's only one book I've ever actually read outside of school, and it's Randy Miller and whatever did the Myst series.
Okay.
For a video game, it was three books that they put out and thoroughly enjoyed them, but never went back to
reading. Were the books based on the games or vice versa?
I think the books were written after the first game was done, but it was based on the world of the different worlds that they would visit, but they never really put those in the game. I think they tried to when they did the live on the online version of the game, but it didn't really play out as well. But the stories in the books were much better than the games were. So I thoroughly enjoyed
That's cool.
But it never actually touched on the actual gameplay information. So if you read the first book, it wasn't basically like you're on the Island of Myst, you know, or you're in the first island. It never did that.
Okay.
All right, then. Now, he also said that someone asked him, what do you do in your spare time? He said that he likes watching TV and that he liked Breaking Bad and Dexter, but he thought the last episode of Dexter was crap.
I haven't watched Dexter, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have...
My favorite bit of this is how he said since Theory of Everything was super serious, he wants to do something more silly.
Yeah, more cheesy.
More cheesy. And he also said that he wants to do something involving shorter songs, which has my fingers 100% crossed for a new Star One album.
God, I hope so. I'd be so excited.
That'd be awesome.
And he also,
it makes sense.
It does. He also mentioned that someone said, would you ever consider doing another Guilt Machine album? And he said that he would think about it, which is almost a little disturbing considering the mindset he was in when he wrote that album. So hope he's never suicidal before he writes it.
Yeah, I just need to get super depressed, then you might see another one. Musically speaking, though, that's one of his better works. Yeah. That album's really good. Makes you really sad.
You have to be in the right frame of mind for that.
That sort of works for all of his music outside of Star One.
Yeah, Star One sort of put silly. On and just go.
Yeah, it's fun and lighthearted.
What if he did an album based on Philip Seymour Hoffman's life?
Maybe.
Too soon.
That'd be pretty cool. I wasn't meaning it as being rude. I was trying to bring it up as a news topic. Because I really like the actor and kind of bummed about everything that happened.
It's just sad the only movie I really recognize him from is Big Lebowski.
That and then I saw Moneyball. He's in that.
What is he playing Moneyball?
I believe he's the A's manager.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Just skimming through this AMA.
Oh, my favorite story in the AMA was someone asked, like, what are some, like, memorable experiences you had with the people you work with? And he said that when they were recording Human Equation, he had James LeBray over because he recorded the vocals on most of that album. And
he was the main character.
Yeah. So then he said one morning James went out for a jog in the woods because Arjun lived in the woods at the time. And he said 2 hours went by and he hadn't come back yet. So he had to go into the woods with a flashlight and try to find him because he got lost. I think it's pretty funny. Great.
Just looking for him in the woods. I can imagine just both of them just stumbling through the woods.
Like writing a new... He could be writing a new song.
I found inspiration.
Still wasn't as lost as that new Dream Theater album.
No.
Boom. Boom. Bombs dropped.
Do you want to defend that? Do you want to go on your soapbox?
I will defend it because when I saw them in concert last year, or 2 years ago, they played some of their stuff from the new album, and I've always liked Dream Theater. I really have. And I was shocked that I was like, oh man, that was their new stuff. Because I didn't realize that I was half drunk the entire time
when
I was watching them. Well, it was hard to justify walking through the crowd to go get another beer, so I always brought three with me.
Solid plan.
So after chugging like six beers in a matter of 30 minutes, to make sure I was well set for the entire show. I don't know. For me, it changes me when I hear a band playing live. It changes my emotional feeling towards the band and their music they do, and I really seem to enjoy listening it on my own more. Whereas Winter Sun is a complete opposite of that. I'll listen to that album 24 hours a day if I have to, or if I want to. But it really did make me feel closer to the band. And not only because I had my picture taken with them, which I'll post on my Google Plus page here in a bit, and you can see my awkward smile on my face wedged in between a bunch of guys. But, yeah, I mean, it may not be the greatest album, but I love the guitars.
I thought that album was really boring.
Yeah, I'm a Dream Theater fan, too. Well, I like Dream Theater. I want to go as far as say, like, I'm a huge fan. I like some of their stuff, but after, like, Poor Night left, I kind of soured on the band.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fan, there was a guy that was in line with me to do the meet and greet mm-hmm. that we did. And he had, I guess he was a big fan of his whole life. And this kid was, like, 19 years old right now. So his whole life, big fan. I wasn't even born
when, like, the first album came out.
But I guess he won, like, a contest where he got a lifetime pass to all the concerts.
That sounds like a pretty cool contest.
So I guess he's rich enough, or his parents are, and he travels to every single concert
that sounds
they have,
like a nightmare.
And that's all he does. And I was like,
so is he basically
concert,
just like,
he flies?
Like he's like a roadie at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But he does all, he gets all the back, you know, all the backstage stuff. And, I mean, I was like, wow, right on, man. I have a job and a life. I can't do that. But
was he like trying to convince you that he was like the bigger man because of this?
Yeah. No, he was. He was definitely flaunting it like a fucking peacock in front of all
of us.
What
an asshole.
And it was the same, I think it was the same dude that had the, a gigantic, what do you call it? Speaker.
Megaphone?
On the name for your guitar. No,
amp?
Like the...
Oh.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, he had like an amplifier and two drum heads that he brought with him to have them signed. And he had stated that he has an entire room full of signed paraphernalia from them, of equipment, guitars, drum heads, sticks, I mean, everything. So, yeah, he was a little bit more obsessed than
I actually believe that if it's talking about Dream Theater, because they have some pretty hardcore fans.
Yeah. So, I'm a fan.
I'm not a super fan.
Have you? Like this? Yeah.
Never be that guy.
In fact, I felt awkward because I like Dream Theater, and I like a lot of bands, and I don't get to know their names of the bands.
Or the band members.
Really, or the names of the band members. But I like the music, and I learned the lyrics. So when I walked up and went to go shake their hand and meet them, like, hey, yeah, you guys are pretty awesome. I love your music. And I didn't know any one of their names. Not a single one.
As long as you don't call them the wrong name, then I think it'd be okay.
No, I didn't. But I like the little. I'm not gonna try to find out what the name is. But one of them, I said, "Hey, man, you guys are pretty awesome. I love your new album." And he just kind of looked at me with like a dead stare. Signed the poster that they give you if you didn't bring anything for them to sign.
He's just thinking himself, "Oh, I hate that album. We should have never put that out."
That album's not up its own ass enough for it to be a proper Dream Theater album.
At least he didn't go up to the drummer and say, "Hey, Mike Portnoy, how's it going?"
Oh, that would have been great. I would have done that.
He just punches you in the face.
I would love to do that.
But the wizard, or their keyboardist, is the wizard, they call him, that is the most entertaining son of a bitch.
We saw them open for Iron Maiden. Yeah. It was actually
another band we saw open for.
It was one of the last shows that Mike Portnoy played on, and I think it's Jordan Rudess, I think it's his name. He busted out a keytar one of the songs.
Yeah, that was pretty okay.
I am a big fan of the keytar. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah. Keytar's great. Awesome. People who smack talk to keytar just don't understand, man.
I messaged you one day saying, I am just watching random keytar solos. Please send help.
And help?
Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, send me a keytar. If anyone has a keytar they don't want, please get in contact with me.
Send it your way. Keytar nonsense?
I have the Star One album where they did the live. They recorded the live one. And one of the songs, I can't remember which one it is, but Arjun just busts out with a keytar in his like silver latex suit.
Is there video of this?
There with the keytar.
I would kill to see that.
Yeah, it's probably on YouTube somewhere.
That sounds magical.
I'll, I'll see if I can find it, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Man, these show notes are racking up.
It's being just a long list of, watch this, watch this. Okay, so then, moving on from that, the only other thing that really happened of note was the Grammys happened last week, which...
That's not important.
I really only watched because Daft Punk was up for a bunch of awards.
And they won a bunch of awards.
They did. I was a little surprised. But then looking at the competition, it actually makes a lot of sense that they would win.
Yeah.
Then,
that's just Taylor Swift's people's reaction.
Yeah, when they announced Album of the Year, it's like, Random Access Memories, and all Taylor Swift's people was like, is it red? Oh, wait, never mind.
Then it's not red, and they got all sad.
And then the performance is also pretty entertaining.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder was good. They had some awesome lights going on, but then they kept cutting to the audience. It's like, why wouldn't you show the stage you spent all the money on?
I don't know, man. Cameraman. They wanted to get close-ups of Steven Tyler doing awkward disco dances.
Yeah, he's probably plastered.
I would be if I was at the Grammys.
And I guess relating this back to metal, some metal artists actually won some awards. I think Black Sabbath won Best Metal Performance, I think.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah, they have...
That's an award?
Well, they had Best Metal Recording and Best Hard Rock Recording, but then recently they combined it into one because the Grammys are stupid.
Okay.
So, like, one year they had, like, Mastodon and Volbeat against Foo Fighters.
Weird.
Which, like, really... I wonder who win that one.
As much as I enjoy all of those groups, they do not belong in the same award category.
I don't know why they did that.
Unless it is Album of the Year.
Yeah, they get Volbeat and Mastodon in there.
If Mastodon won Album of the Year,
that'd be great. They go up on stage.
I like people were commenting that between like all of the Entourage and Daft Punk and everyone that was up on stage when they accepted their Album of the Year award, it looked like an episode of Futurama.
It totally did. Just a bender in the background drinking.
So, the Grammys happened. Grammys don't matter for metal.
Also, Metallica performed with some Chinese pianist named Lang Lang, which I never heard of. And parts of...
Wait, Ling Ling? The little Pokemon guy from Drawn Together?
Yes.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't watch Drawn Together because I'm not a terrible person.
What? Wow.
Anyway, they performed... Metallica doesn't have the best track record when it comes to collaborating with other artists.
What do you mean?
Because during the performance, basically, they had piano accompaniment, which worked at some points, but then Lang Lang just kind of doing his own thing, just kind of soloing, and it didn't really gel well with the rest of the band playing, especially when Kirk started soloing too. It just sounded like a bunch of noise.
Metal is a whole bunch of noise. I don't know what you're shouting about. Metal sucks. .net.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Oh, no. Sports ball. Actually, I want to talk about that, even though it's not metal-related. People who, like, mash sports terms together because they don't like sports are terrible people.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, last night was the Super Bowl, right? It's a big sporting event.
Right.
All the people on Twitter who, like, comment whenever there's a big play, like, super snarky, like, man, I'm so happy that he slam dunked that home run into the net goal. It's like, just stop. Just stop.
Wow. You're just going out of your way to be a hipster at that point.
Yeah, just to be an asshole. I'm not a big fan of Casey Malone on the Twitter, but he had a good point. He's like, before you tweet something super snarky about not liking sports, take a minute and don't.
It's sound advice.
That goes for anything, really. Don't be snarky.
Don't be snarky unless it's really funny.
Beer behind me.
That is my advice.
Okay, yes. Like the DiGiorno pizza Twitter.
Oh, God, that was amazing. Hashtag DiGiorno, you didn't.
Hashtag DiGiorno, you didn't. Yo, your team's sideline is just like your online dating profile. So much sadness in one place.
Do you think that was just some intern that got a hold of the Twitter page that night?
They do that all the time.
Is it just during sporting events or just randomly?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
All right, so let's move away from news. This is the part of the show where every week I think we should have a topic where...
I don't.
Well, one of us can bring up a topic we might want to talk about.
And that's the show, folks. Thank you for listening.
So, what I want to talk about this week is something I think would be pretty interesting. Let's talk about how we all got into metal in the first place. If that's something we want to do.
My story is kind of boring and is like 2 seconds long.
I don't care. Just tell it anyway, because I'll interject.
My story is basically just that, like, my dad was into a lot of, like, 80s hard rock, like AC/DC as a good example. And so I listened to a lot of that, and then it just sort of evolved from there. That's basically it.
Yeah, I have a similar story. It goes a little deeper than that, I think. We actually...
Do tell.
Well, do you remember freshman year of high school? Like, that's actually kind of how we
barely
met.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, because we were standing in the hallway, it's like the first day of school, and we had our iPods on, and I think I was listening to Metallica or something.
I was listening to some motherfucking Dragon Force.
Yeah,
I remember this.
I go over, like, what are you listening to? He puts some random Dragon Force song on, and I listened to that. Like, what is this?
This is pretty good for freshmen in high school, but I feel like there is more to this.
This was definitely,
so then the searching.
This was 2006 for everyone listening.
Yes,
when Dragon
at
Force
the height,
was relevant.
At the height
oh,
of the
wow.
Dragon Force. So then actually our friend Doug, he started looking, well, not really looking around, but he would come up to me because we took the same bus to school in the morning and be like, hey, man, I found this. And then I would be like, hey, man, I found this. And we started just swapping songs and bands that we had discovered through. Because this is back when, like, when YouTube started becoming YouTube, I guess.
Yeah, it was like the first year of YouTube, really.
Yeah, so, like, a lot of people were just uploading music to YouTube, and I guess just through recommended... Actually, they didn't really have the whole recommended video system, at least not the way it is now. Just through, like, hey, man, I'm going to Google this band and see if any other artists come up. The internet, basically, is what led.
I
yeah,
feel old.
As you should.
You should feel old.
I feel really old. Yeah, my story wasn't as internet-based as
y'all's.
Y'all's. Y'all all there?
Do you
y'all?
Have internet down the southern parts?
Down there where you got them horses, you got them cow pies. Hey, Cletus! Clean up the down of dog shit that I just stepped in down there. Thank you. Okay? All right. Thank you. All right. So anyway, so my story pretty much started out as my dad and my mother were big, you know, rockers and growing up, MTV fans and everything. And, So MTV, for you guys out there, actually had music videos. MTV was...
I don't believe you.
Television. That's what that stands for? I never knew.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of mildly talented vernacular.
Yes. moderately talented Vanilla Ice.
Moderately is giving him too much credit.
Go Ninja, go. So after that, I would always listen to Moody Blues and Sticks with my dad in the car. And really just got into them and... some other groups, Tom Petty at the time. And then for a while, I stopped listening to music altogether when my dad asked my dad what that album was with the big old battle axe on the front of it. And maybe many of you are already knowing that it's Queensryche. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that's a little bit too hardcore for you right now. You'll have to listen to your older.
Well, I'll tell you this when you're older.
We'll tell you when you're older.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I went back to my calmer stuff compared to what I listen to now. And my first actual metal album breaking out of my normal mainstream pop stuff was Static X was my first group I got into. With a friend's car. First time I rode in a friend's car, he had the CD in this player. And I was like, this is freaking awesome. And so I started listening to it, and then I found Slipknot, and then Mudvayne, and then all those other groups, and then Metallica, which I actually started listening to Metallica when the Black Album came
out. Oh, you're
one
of those people.
That's when I actually got into it, and I'm one of those people, and actually started doing a thing, and I did violin for 8 years.
Okay.
And a guy in ROTC with me was a metalhead, and so he would play guitar while I did violin improvisation on what he was playing, and so it kind of just pushed my love of music, and then from there it's
and you could have been in on the ground floor on like symphonic metal, and you missed an opportunity.
I did. I did, definitely. But I think Yes had a few years on me on that already.
Details.
But yeah, so after that, then I found out that, you know, a lot of the... Then it became nu metal, which was the stupidest thing
in
the entire world.
No one in nu metal can spell.
No one in nu metal is metal.
No, but like, think about it. You got Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
It's spelled incorrectly. You have Korn is spelled incorrectly. You have nu metal, which is spelled incorrectly. It's just a travesty.
Yeah. So then I found I wanted to find something that was different, and I went to my local record store.
Record stores? CDs, what are CD, those?
Okay, CD Exchange. Like if I want to throw a name around. No, physical actual record.
See, iTunes is terrible.
And so. Yeah, and he goes, "Why don't you take? Why don't you listen to this?" And the first album that he ever gave me was Arjun's Final Experiment.
Oh, the first album?
Final Experiment, Arjun.
Did it just come out?
He said, listen to this. No, it's been out for, it was out for a while. He goes, listen to this, it will change your mind about everything.
Was he like, he had like super bloodshot eyes when he said that?
he was like a real skinny, like a 48-year-old pothead dude who worked at the record store. And he just handed me this album and said, listen to this.
It's going
to
change your life, man. Think about the world in a different way.
You don't take Arion as seriously as we do. I understand that.
Oh.
Meaning Tyler doesn't take it nearly as seriously as you and I do. Yeah. It's serious business, this stuff.
It is. And then I found myself in there every payday because I had a side job. I would go into the record or CD store, find a bunch of albums that he would recommend, put them on their six CD player disc, put them in, and then just listen to like five or six tracks from each one of them, and then end up like buying a ton of them. And that was my intro into the world of European metal. And from there, it's just been, you know,
I had to explain to my dad the other day the difference, because I was showing him some like the crazy, ridiculous Epica Nightwish live show stuff, and he was just like, America has sort of fallen out of love with metal as a whole. I'm like, because the styles are very different, generally speaking.
You mean like 80s metal and like modern metal? Well,
no, because like what happened, this is how I see what happened with American metal as a whole. There are obviously exceptions.
Well, go ahead.
Like, American metal was a thing in the 80s, right? And then a whole bunch of kids
hair metal
grew up in the 80s and 90s listening to way too much Metallica and decided that's what I want to do. But of course, none of them could replicate it, so it sort of morphed into this thing where people were worried about being as like hard and hardcore as they can without worrying about, you know, being good songwriters, and that's where we are today.
Then you get Five Finger Death Punch.
And this is the state of American metal as a whole.
But yeah, that was me. As I didn't want music. I didn't want a CD. I keep saying record because I'm collecting records, so I apologize. But I didn't want just a song that's, you know, 305 minutes long, 305, and that was it. I wanted something that told me a story. I
wanted to go on a journey.
And I only...
We're talking about journey
I wanted
now.
To go on an epic journey.
You wanted to listen to a journey and then go on an actual journey.
I could listen to Journey all day.
Yeah, I could too, definitely. But... And I didn't find that in American metal. It wasn't there. It had stopped. It was always... I couldn't even explain to you what they were trying to sing about, but it usually probably had to do with, you know...
Fighting.
Fighting, fucking, and drinking.
In that order.
Because, and that was it.
Because now, they're trying to play for the radio single, because that's where the money is.
Yeah, but that doesn't win me over. So that my personal taste, that's not what I was looking for. And the European metal movement is where I found my home.
I agree.
Essentially.
Yeah, for some reason, whatever American bands like try to be cheesy, or even not try to be cheesy, it always seems to blow up in their face. For some reason, when European bands are cheesy, it just becomes...
You get Unicorn Invasion of Dundee.
It works somehow.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just something in their
There's
genes
a
that...
je ne sais quoi, if you will. Europe work the European nature into it.
Europe's pretty great. We should go there sometime.
Europe also sucks in a lot of ways.
Well, I wouldn't want to live there. I like to go there for a little while.
Yeah.
I always wanted to go to Ibiza, though. As much as I'm into metal, I also love techno.
I'd be scared. I'd be kind of scared to go into like a German techno club.
Oh no, that'd be the best. Let's go.
You could slip some weird things in your drinks.
That's why you don't buy drinks.
Yeah, and then
just get hammered beforehand.
But then all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden, Rammstein comes on.
And then...
Out of nowhere, with a blowtorch
in
his hand.
And he's got blowtorch in his hand, he's got angel wings on, the keyboardist is walking on a treadmill for some reason.
All of a sudden, a guy in a suit gets shot, and then Vin Diesel pops in with three X's on the back of his neck. And I don't know where that came from, but now he's collecting cars and trying to sell them on the black market.
I think this stuff has already been slipped into your drink. I don't know.
I haven't finished one beer in the show. That must tell you something. That normally, I'm done three beers.
Is that a good thing?
The shows.
I can't really tell.
I think it's a good thing. I'm more excited about this.
You want to be as sober as possible while still not being 100% sober.
Don't say that to anyone.
The thing is with music compared to, like, you know, what we usually, you know, I usually podcast about games, is that you can listen to music while at work or in, you know, drive to and from work.
Wait, you guys don't play games when you drive?
I mean, you can put people's lives in danger if you want to do that, but
I got my NVIDIA shield.
Of course, yes.
Hooked up in the back of my trunk of my car.
Oh man. So yeah, that thing it covers everything, at least what's in the show notes.
Yeah, well, I didn't really talk about how I got in the metal that much.
Oh, I thought you did. Never mind.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I mentioned it briefly.
Do tell.
I want to go back a little further. Cause
paint us a word picture.
I have a bit of a confession to make, which some people might not view it as a big a deal. Other people might think I'm just, like, the worst. But the first metal in quotes, album that I actually ever listened to was Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park.
That's just the times. I'm sort of the same.
Yeah, this was like fourth grade, so early 2000s. But
fourth grade? That was fourth grade for you?
I'm a youngin.
Oh my god, I feel old.
So am
god.
I. I'm the youngest one here.
Yeah, I was in junior high school when that
was. Everyone in your class just like losing their minds over it?
No, in fact, I hung out with the stoners and the metalheads, and they all loved it. And everybody else had no idea what it was.
I'll tell you what. You
want to
know why they love it?
But
you want to know why they loved it?
Okay.
Because Hybrid Theory is a great album. And screw anyone that says otherwise.
It is. It's a great album. But the people who didn't like it loved Limp Bizkit and ICP.
People who like ICP are bad people.
That.
I would take... Even though I don't have the highest opinion of Linkin Park today, I would still take them over Limp Bizkit and definitely over ICP.
If you're like in grade school, let's say, right, and the first thing you hear of this group is just the first minute or so of Paper Cut off of Hybrid Theory, that is like mind blowing if you haven't heard anything else in a similar genre.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, granted, when I was in high school, I had a CD player.
Yeah, I did too. I would walk around.
Not in high school.
Like in between classes with CD player, listening to that album. Because they didn't have an iPod yet.
Yep.
And that was the album that all my
friends
were
talking
about.
And I was that guy in the back of the class. I was the guy in the back of the class that pulled out the inner booking paper, whatever, from my CD, and would just read the lyrics instead of doing my work in class. And memorize
lyrics.
So
look where you are today.
Hey! Yay! Where's my beer?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was the first album I actually listened to. Well, yeah, metal album I listened to. I didn't really listen to that much music when I was a kid. Like, everything I heard was just top 40 stuff, and I hated it all. My sisters would play it all the time. They'd be like, I hate you. Stop playing this.
Oh, we both suffer from the sister syndrome of terrible pop music.
I still suffer from it to an extent.
No, it's gotten worse for me, because my sister is now into country.
Well... My younger sister also likes country, but she's not. I don't think she's as into it as yours.
Like going to country shows and whatnot, it's just the worst.
Yeah, country.
I'm like the last bastion of hating country in my family.
There's some country that isn't terrible, but majority of it is pretty bad.
I will listen to all of Johnny Cash's.
That doesn't count. When I say country, you should know what I mean.
Very specific country sound.
Oh, pop country. You mean
I'm talking about like the twangy? I got my pickup truck. That kind of country.
Like modern country, basically.
Oh, Red Solo.
Yeah, like that kind of country.
I lift you up. Yeah,
yeah. I even like country rock, like Lynyrd Skynyrd, Allman Brothers. I'm good with all that stuff.
Some Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster.
Yeah.
Now, how do you guys feel about bluegrass?
Bluegrass is weird. I don't really listen to a lot of it, enough of it to form an opinion.
I like the bluegrass songs that Led Zeppelin did. That's about as far as I go with bluegrass.
See, I was going about the point where you got Blues Brothers 2000 movie, and they're up there on the stage at the Monster Truck Rally. Yeah, I show notes.
As a side note, any movie with the 2000 in the name is usually not pretty good. It's pretty
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
Anyway, moving on. So I listened to that album, and then that was around the time my dad wanted to play me some of his old stuff. It was like AC/DC, Aerosmith, Van Halen.
Dad's into Van Hagar, so that removes all credibility of his Van Halen pick.
Well, he did play me Van Halen 1. So that was my first exposure to Van Halen. And also, like, 1984, that stuff. All the Diamond Dave era. So
the only era.
Yeah, so I listened to that stuff. It was around the time I got my first iPod, so I was listening to that stuff all the time. And then it was in summer camp, and one of my friends, they noticed that I was listening to, like, rock and stuff, so he was like, hey, check out this song. And he played me Enter Sandman by Metallica. And I heard it. It was like, this is pretty cool. I should go check out this band. So I went on the old LimeWire.
Oh, man.
That's what I did at the time. And I went back and listened to all of Metallica's, like, old stuff, like Kill 'Em All. I listened to, like, Seek and Destroy, Justice for All, the song Master of Puppets. And that was, Metallica was really the first metal band I got into. And that basically shaped the rest of my metal listening. So after that, I got into, like, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, and eventually spiraled into all this crazy power metal, and ended with Glory Hammer. So now I think
we've come full circle. There's nowhere to go from here.
Yeah, I don't know where I could even, like, go from here.
Nowhere, really.
Yeah.
It's all downhill. I've just been sitting here listening to Hybrid Theory since you mentioned it.
What song are you on?
The third song with you.
Which,
this song's okay.
What number song is Crawling? Because that is... I can't...
Five.
I can't stand that song. Like, I will...
Hybrid Theory was a
good album at the time, and it holds up okay, but that song, I never want to hear it again.
I have a story about that song.
Please share.
Okay.
Share with the class.
I had broken up with my second girlfriend, and I was driving back home from her trailer park. Yes, I will state that. And I put this song on.
That's why you broke up with her.
Well, that's one of the reasons. And I put this song on with the windows down, and I just started screaming it at the hook, you know, and crying as I was doing it. I mean, it was like a poignant moment in my life listening to
that song.
It
was like... It was like an early 2000s teen movie.
Yeah.
You're super angsty, angry at the
world. Where I was John Cusack and singing at the top of my lungs.
That's funny.
So yeah, I actually wrote a story in high school called Always Find a Beat to Live By. And it was about how music can inspire you and change you, and change your mood, and how it can be used to, instead of taking medication, using music to fill the holes in your life and the gaps that are causing you pain and suffering, or how it can also cause pain and suffering by delving deep into old emotions that you didn't know you had while listening to the lyrics.
There have been tons of studies saying that when it comes to most of the senses, I guess, the one that has the strongest link to nostalgia is sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes some sense. Like, I think there's also a study that said that, like, 90% of people listen to music when growing up, listen to it today. So when we're all in our 80s, we're still going to be listening to The Unicorn Invasion of Dundee. It'll be
that
amazing.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, I'll be all right with that. Crawling in my skin, these fools, they will not heal.
I remember listening to Hybrid Theory when I was just a wee lad.
You remember that shitty remix album they did of that?
Jay-Z ruined
that. Was it with Jay-Z?
Oh, man.
Then they became the Transformers bands, and I hated them forever.
That sounds like a podcast.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much wrap it up. Anyone else have anything else you want to share?
We've got plugs. Anyone got plugs?
Plugs.
Normally we do music plugs on the video game show, but that's like this entire show, so...
Yeah, they basically spun out into this.
So we should just do video game plugs.
All right.
Okay.
What video games have you been playing?
I've been playing Final Fantasy VI. It's
that
technically
3
in the US. Yes, that Super Nintendo release. It's technically 3, This is in
actually,
the U.S.?
It's actually the 20th anniversary of that game, I think.
Sure. That's the reason I'm playing it. Let's go with that.
Trying to make it somewhat relevant.
And then I've been playing Final Fantasy XII because we've just started the Final Fantasy Challenge amongst a group of friends to see if anyone amongst us can finish all of the numbered Final Fantasy games in a calendar year.
Who amongst us is brave enough to embark on this noble feat?
It's funny because we're including 10-2 and all three 13 games in this.
Yeah, you didn't include the MMOs, which I'm surprised. Not really.
No, because they require sub fees and you can't really finish them. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a personal story in both of them.
First to 80.
But you can't really finish them. Yeah. Because that would be sub fees, and that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, sure. Also take forever.
Yeah. Especially in 11, where you can't really do anything solo past a certain level, and that game's really old now, so I'm sure there's people still playing it, but come on now.
And then do you want to explain the caveat at the end, like the little bonus thing?
Oh, yes. Okay, there's a bonus to this challenge where you can watch Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, the CGI movie. It doesn't count towards anything, because it's a bonus.
There's no reward.
But it's like style points. But the caveat is that you must watch it on UMD for the PSP in order for it to count for bonus points.
So what you're saying, the only way to get S rank is to
own a PSP.
Own a PSP and to own the movie on UMD on your PSP. Or for your PSP. So I was in class the other day, and a dude had a UMD fall out of his pocket. And I was so curious what the hell it was, but I didn't get a good look at it.
It's probably stealth.
I actually found a bunch of UMD games that I have in my closet the other day.
Like PSP games?
Yeah.
Man.
I owned a PSP, and I played the shit out of my PSP.
Man, for a thing called the Universal Media Disc, it was super proprietary.
There was nothing universal about that at all.
Oh, Sony, you lost at Betamax, and you've been trying to fuck the world ever since.
Oh, no, because they were a big supporter of Blu-ray, and that worked.
Eh.
Blu-rays are pretty
like
good.
Like, they...
HD-DVD was better.
No, it was not. Let's not get crazy here. Because, like, they've actually, with the exception of the UMD, they've been on a pretty hot streak when it comes to formats. Because, like, Nintendo was going all cartridges, and then there's that whole Nintendo-Sony story, which is super interesting. That involved Philips, I'm pretty sure, at some point, too. And then Sony just went like, you know what, we believe in these discs, and thus led to the creation of the PlayStation. And then they were really good with that, with disc-based games, and then they were really solid with Blu-rays, with sticking a drive in PS3 way back in 2006. So they've had some good and some bad format decisions.
Well, they were really instrumental in basically making DVDs catch on, because a lot of people bought PS2s because it was a DVD player.
Exactly. The same reason, I mean, not nearly as many, but some people bought PS3s. Like, for a while, the PS3 was the best Blu-ray player you can get for the price, because Blu-ray players were super expensive.
Yeah, it was actually the cheapest at the time, and the PS3 launched at $600.
$599.
I remember that.
So, yeah. That's my plug. Final Fantasy games. Some of them are good.
Some of them.
It is bad.
Ian, do you have any games you want to plug?
Just Broken Age. I'm still playing through that.
Yeah, that just came out for the public.
Did it? Oh, did it finally release?
Yeah, like last week it did.
Yeah, it was the 28th, I think.
So, yeah, love the game. Really enjoying that. But
it was super short, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was definitely short.
Actually, I have one more slight plug that...
All right.
Steam just added a music player.
I heard about that.
To its in-game overlay with full big picture mode. I couldn't think of what it's called.
Don't you have to sign up for their beta, though? They join the group?
Yeah, you need to join the music group. Basically, they basically want to have it so you can have music playing while playing full-screen games and can like mess around with what music you're playing without alt-tabbing. You can just sort of go into their overlay.
Yeah.
Which is a neat idea. I'm surprised it took this long.
Well, now they have the Steam boxes. It makes sense to be honest. Something in the living room.
Yeah.
They get Netflix in there.
I wonder if they'll have a player built in, or if it'll just pull from
music
external
like
players.
A music player?
Yeah.
I think it said that they're actually built a music player. At least the story I saw.
Gamers will be able to listen to their personal music collection while playing games with the integrated music player. Yeah, okay, there you go.
I got a plug that's kind of media related. They just released the full SDK for the Chromecast, so now apps
can
actually
cool.
be designed to play on your Chromecast.
That's pretty big, actually.
So it's just like anyone with an app can just add Chromecast support?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty much. So I'm very looking forward to the Giant Bomb app that I heavily use in my life.
Oh, that'd be great.
The XBMC app is still broken, and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
I don't use the XBMC, unfortunately. But
XBMC's the shit.
Yeah.
XBMC is my other plug.
I'll get there someday where I have all my music in one location or library videos and stuff, so.
Alright, and then play Zelda Link Between Worlds, I guess. Because it's the only game.
I've been playing that game. That game's pretty good.
You need to buy a 3DS. That's my plug.
No. Why do you follow me? Why do you curse me with this every time?
Look,
hey, I didn't put him up to this.
Just accept it. You must confront your inner.
You missed out. You should have got one this weekend because Zelda Four Swords Anniversary Edition was free on the eShop. And if we had four people, as in the three of us plus our friend Brian, we could have played wirelessly co-op at PAX. But you missed your opportunity because it's not on the eShop anymore.
Oh, well. I'll just get it from another shop.
You can get the DS version, I think.
I think it was a DSi game, so you have to download it.
That's not on the eShop, so...
Yeah, so you're kind of boned.
Oh, well.
So, yeah.
All right, that's the show. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm TY_Rosen. What's yours again?
Matt_Leslie, LESLIE35. And then if you want to follow the other show that Ian, also known as Mr. Squiddle, on the Twitterverse. Yep.
I started following you recently.
Yeah, you did. I was like, who? Oh, yeah, I remember that sombrero.
Yeah. I saw you had like three followers. Like, this is unacceptable. I must change this.
So you can follow the other shows we do at the Lincoln Cast. There are two shows. There's the Lincoln Cast, which is a Guild Wars 2 only show, more or less. And then there's the Scotch Cast, which is just general gaming. I have it set up so it gets auto-posted there. And you can just follow one of those links and it'll take you to the feed so you can sign up via RSS or iTunes or whatever the hell you want to do. So, yeah.
All right. That's it then.
Go listen to metal.
Listen to some Glory Hammer.
Go listen to the Unicorn Invasion of Dundee.
Yes. Play it loud and confuse your neighbors.
Just go into random public places and just yell out the beginning really loud.
Beware the Black Sparrow of Time, for he haunts you in your life and sees everything that is now and will be.
All right,
that's for a place in the show.
Stop the recording.